You're listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we are studying Romans chapter 11. We're going to be talking about the mercy of God to Israel and also His mercy to the Gentiles in order to reconcile all men unto Him. Now, when we begin this discussion, it's going to seem as though God is not having mercy to Israel because it's talking about God rejecting them because of their unbelief. But we see in this that there is mercy even to Israel because a remnant of them will be saved. Now, God has always wanted to reveal Himself to mankind and to show us His love. The God of the Old Testament seems different to us than the God of the New Testament. And of course, we have the differences in the law and the gospel. God revealed Himself in a different way to the children of Israel than He revealed Himself in the New Testament to the Jews. Also, in our generation, we have more knowledge than the early Jewish nation. He couldn't give the Jews Jesus during the time of Moses. God had to teach His ways to the children of Israel through giving them the law. He had to show them that He is God in the first place because they worshipped idols. It was all in God's plan. Moses had to come first and then Jesus. The 4,000 years before Jesus was born, God was trying to reveal Himself to mankind. And for almost that entire time, 4,000 years, man worshipped idols. Even when God left the temple and walked out the front door, as recorded in Ezekiel 10, it was because the priests were worshiping the sun, an idol, in the temple. The glory of the Lord departed His temple, and the Jewish nation were taken into captivity to Babylon for 70 years. God sent prophets to tell the Jewish nation that they needed to be rid of their idolatry. After they returned from Babylon, the Bible says that they were cured from their idolatry as a nation. So it took God 4,000 years having patience and mercy before Israel could rid themselves of idols and to see that there is only one God. God could not reveal Jesus and true righteousness until 400 years after they were taken into captivity. It was as though Israel was a baby for 4,000 years, where he had to be taught right and wrong. God used the law of Moses and the ordinances to teach them how they are supposed to live. They were not ready for Jesus until they could rid themselves of their idols. In God's mercy, He gave them time to do that. Then God sent John the Baptist after 400 years of silence. John taught them repentance and water baptism. He was preparing the people's hearts for the Messiah. And when Jesus came, He healed on the Sabbath. He picked corn on the Sabbath. He ate and associated with sinners. And He died on a tree. Now, all these things that He did, according to the Jewish leaders' interpretation of the law, broke the law of Moses. They called Him a sinner, which according to one particular law, cursed is every man that is hanged on a tree, which would indeed make him a sinner according to the Jewish law, even though he had not sinned at all. But God declared Jesus to be righteous, and he raised him from the dead. Jesus showed himself to be more righteous than the law. God had not changed in his requirements for a man to be righteous. He just enabled him to fulfill the law that he first required when he raised Jesus from the dead. Now we find in Romans 11 that the Jews have rejected Jesus as the fulfillment of the law. They could not change and grow in God's plan and way. They couldn't adapt to the gospel. In the Old Testament and up until Jesus, they had almost exclusive rights to God because of the promises and the covenants that God made with Abraham. When the Jews rejected Jesus, then God offered Jesus to the Gentiles, which was the rest of the world. As a result of God turning to the Gentiles, some of the Jews that Paul was witnessing to asked him if God had forsaken or cast away the nation of Israel and the people of the Jews. Paul tells them, God forbid. In verse 1 through 32, Paul is telling the Jews and Gentiles in his letter to Rome that God is reconciling all men to himself through Jesus. He's telling them that God will have mercy on the Jews, but they must accept Jesus and his righteousness in order to be saved. They cannot depend upon the law to save them and their works of righteousness, because only the blood of Jesus Christ can justify them before God. Now concerning the question in verse 1, hath God cast away his people? Is the rejection of the Jews total and final? Will God no more have a peculiar people to himself? Paul tells them that not all of Israel will be lost. A remnant shall be saved. He says it was necessary that the Jews be cast away as the branch of an olive tree. He makes an analogy as Christ being an olive tree, and the original branches signifying the Jewish people. He talks about the Jewish branches being cut away from the root, which is Christ, and a wild branch, which he signified to be the Gentiles, to be grafted in. He is meaning that God has grafted in the Gentiles to this analogy of an olive tree. What did the casting away of the olive branches that were the Jewish nation mean? It was meaning that they were blinded and their hearts were hardened by God. Now, did they harden their heart first? Yes, they did. The Jews hardened their heart first, and then God hardened their heart more. Isaiah 29 and 10, and again in Isaiah 6 and 9. The blinding is called a judgment in the spirit of slumber. They are under the power of a prevailing lethargy, and they're not concerned, as a people who are slumbering and sleeping. He says they are in this judgment, so they cannot see nor hear, because they have rejected Jesus, and also because over the years they have hardened their heart. The generation that God sent his son to be born in had not heard from heaven as a nation for 400 years. Their hearts were already hardened before Jesus came. It was a given that they would reject Jesus. All the sins of their fathers who had rejected the prophets of old were now ripe for the reaping in the first century Jewish nation. They would crucify Jesus as their fathers had killed the prophets, Jesus had told them. to illustrate his point of the Jewish nation and their attitude at the time that Jesus died on the cross. Paul quotes King David in Psalm 69:22-23. They gave him vinegar to drink on the cross. David prophesies of their rejection of the Messiah. Let their table become a snare. Let them drink the bitterness of vinegar instead of the feasting they previously enjoyed because they rejected Jesus. Now David didn't know he was prophesying about Jesus, but we see it today that the Holy Spirit knew in that prophecy. In verse 2, Paul again brings up predestination when he uses the word foreknew. He knew who would choose him, so he includes them in another word called the election. We who are the believers are the election, those whom God has chosen. We are also called the elect. Paul says that even though God has cast away the Jews for the gospel's sake, he has Jewish believers that he has chosen. He includes himself in that number. He prides himself in his Jewish heritage, but he says what he's most proud of is to be counted among the elect. Paul compares himself to Elijah in 1 Kings 15:14, who prays to God and tells him there's no one that serves God but him. He's the only prophet left. I am sure that Paul must have felt all alone in trying to bring the gospel message. Paul relates how that God spoke to Elijah and told him that he still had 7,000 prophets that had not bowed themselves to the idol Baal. It sounds as though Paul is relating his personal thoughts here and encouraging himself. But I am sure there were some other Christian Jews that were there and that felt like they were the only ones in their families and their nation that believed in Jesus. We too can sometimes feel alone if we look at the world and how the most are on a downhill run to darkness. But God still has many that are serving Him and have not bowed to the lust of this world. Let us encourage ourselves that God is still in control and still has His people, the elect. In verse 6, Paul is talking about the free grace of God, which excludes works of the law. Election, he concludes, is purely according to the good pleasure of God's will. Ephesians 1:5, Paul says, if it's by grace, then it's not of work. Paul warns the Gentiles in verse 17-22, that they too should take heed that they do not do as the Jews have done by trusting in themselves and their works for salvation. He warns them not to reject Jesus and His righteousness for salvation and not to substitute their own works in hopes that it will justify them before God. He tells them if God will cut away the true branch from the olive tree for unbelief, take heed that He does not cut away the wild branch, the Gentiles, because of their unbelief. Verse 11, the Christian Jews ask if the Jewish nation has only stumbled in their relationship with God, or have they fallen completely away from God? Can they be restored? Does God want to destroy the Jews? Paul answers, God forbid. He said God wants to bring the Gentiles to salvation, and He wants to bring the Jews to salvation. It could only come about because of the fall of the Jews that He could bring the Gentiles to salvation. He says the fall of the Jews brought riches to the world by introducing the world to Jesus. He has reconciled the world to Himself through Christ. Paul is encouraging the Jews to stir themselves up to receive the gospel offer. He tells them that God wants to provoke the Jews to jealousy, to make them want to emulate the Christian Gentiles, so that they might be saved. Acts 22:21 tells of his calling by God to the Gentiles. Paul's more or less apologizing because he says he's magnifying his office, which means his ministry. But he is telling them that he has authority from God to tell them the gospel. So therefore he can say with authority, I speak to you Gentiles. He tells the Gentiles two things, to have respect for the Jews and to desire their conversion to the gospel, and to take heed to themselves lest they should stumble and fall as the Jews had done. He further cautions them not to be proud nor boast against the Jews because of their fall from grace. He tells them not to say they were broken off so that I might be grafted in, as though the Gentiles were more worthy than the Jews. He tells them that they are only a branch and not the root, but the branches cannot survive without the root, meaning Jesus Christ. He tells the Gentiles not to be high-minded, but fear. He's meaning a holy fear that has respect to God and thankfulness for what God has done for them. Paul tells these Gentiles that the Jews were cut off because of unbelief. Paul uses the word severity in verse 22 to describe God's judgment upon the Jews for their failure to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul tells the Gentiles that their salvation is dependent upon the grace of God received by faith. Now in verse 22, Paul says, towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, and continue in dependence upon the free grace of God. He says the rejection of the Jews is not final. Verse 12 talks about the addition of them to the church. It is called the receiving of them into the love of Christ. It would be life from the dead when they are grafted back in to the olive tree again. And they shall be grafted into their own olive tree, which is here called the saving of all Israel. Verse 26 is not saying that all the Jews of Israel will be saved spiritually, but it is referring to the nation of Israel, that it will be restored again. And we know that took place May the 14th, 1948. Israel became a nation after being scattered all over the world for over 2,000 years. That prophecy has been fulfilled. God is further not completely through with Israel, because in the millennium, Jesus' earthly literal throne will be set up in Jerusalem, and all the nations will be required to go there each year to pay homage to Jesus. Verse 23 says God is able to graft them in again if they believe. Paul reminds the Gentiles that they've received mercy through the Jews' unbelief. He's here asking the Gentiles to show mercy to the unbelieving Jews by witnessing the gospel to them. Paul quotes Isaiah 59:20-21. The Messiah was prophesied. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. And in another place in Isaiah, Jesus is called the Redeemer shall come to Zion. His purpose was to rid Israel from their sins for all those who would believe. God says, this is my covenant with them, to take away their sins and be merciful. It is all done by grace, and the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He tells the Gentiles not to be wise in their own conceit, because Israel has been blinded in part because of the hardness of their heart. He tells them that when the fullness of the Gentiles shall come in, that is, when the gospel has been preached in all the world of Gentiles, then he will once again bless Israel. Verse 32 through 36 will tell us about the infinite wisdom and the sovereignty of God. Paul will end this chapter with a doxology that expresses his adoration of God. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Now let's read Romans chapter 11 in the New Living Translation. I say then, has God rejected his people, the Jews? Of course not. Remember that I myself am a Jew, a descendant of Abraham, and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. No, God has not rejected his own people, whom he chose from the very beginning. Do you remember what the scriptures say about this? Elijah the prophet complained to God about the people of Israel and said, Lord, they've killed your prophets and they've torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And do you remember God's reply? He said, you're not the only one left. I have 7,000 others who have never bowed down to Baal. It is the same today, for not all the Jews have turned away from God. A few are being saved as a result of God's kindness in choosing them. And if they are saved by God's kindness, then it's not by their good works. For in that case, God's wonderful kindness would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. So this is the situation. Most of the Jews have not found the favor of God they are looking for so earnestly. A few have, the ones God has chosen, but the rest were made unresponsive, as the scriptures say. God has put them into a deep sleep, and to this very day he has shut their eyes so that they do not see, and closed their ears so they do not hear. David spoke of this same thing when he said, let their bountiful table become a snare, a trap that makes them think all is well. Let their blessings cause them to stumble, and let their eyes go blind so they cannot see, and let their backs grow weaker and weaker. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. His purpose was to make his salvation available to the Gentiles, and then the Jews would be jealous and want it for themselves. Now, if the Gentiles were enriched because the Jews turned down God's offer of salvation, think how much greater a blessing the world will share when the Jews finally accept it. I am saying all of this especially for you Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle to the Gentiles, and I lay stress on this, for I want to find a way to make the Jews want what you Gentiles have, and in that way I might save some of them. For since the Jews' rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, how much more wonderful their acceptance will be. It will be life for those who were dead. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their children will also be holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the Jews, have been broken off. And you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree were grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in God's rich nourishment of his special olive tree. But you must be careful not to brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. Remember, you're just a branch, not the root. Well, you might say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches, the Jews, were broken off because they didn't believe God. And you are there because you do believe. Don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the branches that he put there in the first place, he won't spare you either. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He's severe to those who disobeyed, but kind to you as you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you will be cut off. And if the Jews turn from their unbelief, God will graft them back into the tree again. He has the power to do it. For if God was willing to take you who were, by nature, branches from a wild olive tree and graft you into his own good tree, a very unusual thing to do, he will be far more eager to graft the Jews back into the tree where they belong. God's mercy is for everyone. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud and start bragging. Some of the Jews have hard hearts, but this will only last until the complete number of Gentiles comes to Christ, and so all Israel will be saved. Do you remember what the prophet said about this? A deliverer will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel from all ungodliness. And then I will keep my covenant with them and take away their sins. Many of the Jews are now enemies of the good news, but this has been to your benefit, for God has given his gifts to you Gentiles. Yet the Jews are still his chosen people, because of the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the Jews refused his mercy, God was merciful to you instead. And now in the same way, the Jews are the rebels, and God's mercy has come to you. But someday, they too will share in God's mercy. For God has imprisoned all people in their own disobedience, so he could have mercy on everyone. Oh, what a wonderful God we have! How great are his riches and wisdom and knowledge! How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his methods! For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who knows enough to be his counselor? And who could ever give him so much that he would have to pay it back? For everything comes from him. Everything exists by his power, and it's intended for his glory. To him be glory evermore. Amen. Please pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we see your mercy at work. We see how merciful that you are, that you never give up, Lord, on your people, and you'll not turn us away if we call on you. We ask that you would impart your righteousness unto us and that you would forgive our sins. Let us be in your righteousness, we pray, for we declare your righteousness this morning. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's leading me.